Let us pray. May the words that I speak and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our salvation. Amen. It might not be a pretty sight the way I got up here, but I got up here, and I'll get down again. Okay. So last Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, after this marvelous lunch and listen concert by the Hyde Park Ensemble and our own John Knight, with a record-breaking audience of 80-plus, Deacon Peter and I offered ashes out there, as I said, in the foyer. And then we went downstairs, and throngs of people were down there. There were lots and lots of goodies, and we had a great time. And so then, after most had departed, I took my maiden voyage, driving solo to Adams, to shop for groceries by myself for the first time in 7 weeks. I still had my clerics on, of course, and I had the black smudge of a cross on my forehead, which Peter had traced with the sobering words that have come down to us from ancient times in the early church. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you will return. And when I got to Adams, I was very proud of myself. I strode in with my cane and my shopping cart, and I felt like I was free. I was on holiday. This was entertainment. And besides, my freezer was almost empty. And so I started in the meat selection. I grabbed a treat. I grabbed a pot roast from my slow cooker. And I grabbed a steak for another day. And up and down the aisles I went, almost giddy with joy at having the freedom to pick anything I wanted to place in my shopping cart. In went the veggies and the fruit and the milk and the eggs and my favorite bread, and also crackers and tea bags and glorious, delicious chocolate cookies, chocolate candy bars. I was lost in a sea of temptation after a long time in the wilderness, or so it seemed to me. In fact, I was so distracted by the fun of all of this that I hadn't even noticed at first the odd looks I was receiving from people who were passing by with their shopping carts. And then with a thud, it dawned on me, this was Ash Wednesday. And there I was, larger than life, in my clerical collar with the imprint of the cross of Christ traced in ashes on my forehead, as plain as day. And there in this predominantly Roman Catholic town of Poughkeepsie, I was stuffing my shopping cart full of beef and chocolate and a host of frivolous things that tradition suggests that the people of God should be giving up for Lent. Busted. Now, when I realized what this looked like, I bolted for the checkout counter, endured some raised eyebrows from the checker and everybody around me in line, and I headed home feeling very embarrassed, though secretly relieved to have my pantry restocked with my favorite treats and the essentials, of course. So this Sunday marks the first Sunday in Lent. The period from Ash Wednesday until Easter Sunday is a time when we are invited to go into the wilderness, to shake loose from all the props of life, the things that detract us from what is really important. This 40-day period is meant to remind us of so many of the ancient stories within our faith tradition, like the story of Noah and the Great Flood, and the 40 years of wandering in the desert by the children of Israel, referenced in our first reading today from Deuteronomy. We think of Lent as a time when we need to give up something. Red meat, chocolate, television, excessive internet browsing. Is this too simplistic a notion of Lent? Let's go back to Luke's gospel, which describes Jesus' encounter with Satan in some detail, and think some more about all of that. First, though, an interesting note. Did you know that only two of the Gospels go into much detail about this back and forth encounter between Jesus and Satan? Did you realize that John's Gospel doesn't even mention this story? And Mark, the shortest and the oldest of the Gospels, spends only two verses on what happened immediately after John baptizes Jesus at the Jordan River. This is what Mark writes. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, emptied by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. That's it. That's all Mark wrote. There's nothing at all recorded in Mark about that conversation that went on, all those temptations that Satan was offering Jesus, all those wonderful things that he could have. And since I've preached before on the back and forth of this drama in the wilderness where Satan works hard to entice Jesus by quoting Scripture, and notice that Satan knows Scripture. He knows how to use it as a cunning tool with Jesus. He offers Jesus more bread, more power, more protection. But that's not where I'm going to go today. We know how Luke's version of the story goes. After all, we know that Jesus manages to resist those three temptations by the devil out there in the wilderness, even as a human being in his human form. Jesus makes it very clear to Satan that he worships God alone and will not be distracted from faithfully continuing to serve God. So I'm not going to get into all of that back and forth stuff. Instead, I really want to spend some time today talking about our own experience of wilderness testing. Because most, if not all of us, have been there, haven't we? We might not be able to relate to having been tested by the devil out in a desert somewhere. But as human beings, isn't it true that we've been there in other settings of our lives? Anyone who has experienced a time in their lives where all of the usual props let us down, and we find ourselves absolutely on empty, have been in the wilderness, have been tested by the devil. Isn't that true? Was it that day when the one you loved died? Or when you lost your job? Or received a frightening diagnosis? Or were told by your spouse that they were leaving you? Or when you were picking yourself off the floor, literally or figuratively, after another round of physical or emotional abuse by someone close to you? Or felt abandoned or betrayed by friends or family, or let down by your faith community, or had your house foreclosed on you, or out of desperation after lots of bad decisions or circumstances beyond your control, had to declare bankruptcy? Was that day when you realized you would never reach your professional goals? Or that you've been fooling yourself, thinking you were self-reliant? Or were trapped emotionally by your past? Or was your wilderness experience about addictions to drugs or alcohol or food or internet porn or shopping or gambling or romance? Did you face the devil in the wilderness at the center of your own chest with your heart pounding, begging for a word of hope from God and hearing nothing? Nothing at all, with only the reek of fear emanating from your body's own chemical reaction to that fear and desperation? Barbara Brown Taylor reminds us in a sermon she preached called The Wilderness Exam that the wilderness is still one of the most reality-based, spirit-filled, life-changing places a person can be. She reminds us that it was the Spirit of God who led Jesus to this wilderness. That's how it starts in Luke's Gospel. The Spirit of God leads Jesus to the wilderness. Luke tells us in the first sentence that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit during this exam that he faces in front of the devil. He doesn't have anything else around him as props. But Jesus is armed with the Spirit of God, who is very much with him. It takes him 40 days out there. But Jesus emerges with clarity about his mission in life, and then Jesus gets on with it, all the way to the cross. We've heard before that Lent comes from this old English word for spring. And yeah, I always think of Shirley's flower garden around the church and how it begins to spring forward about this time in Lent. And we think forward, we think of Easter when we adorn this whole altar area with lilies, symbols of new life, resurrection, and springtime of his soul. But what would spring mean to us without having endured the long gray hibernation of winter? My shopping cart was full of taboo items for the season of Lent last Wednesday when I was supposed to be giving up things that are distracting to help me experience a wilderness period of getting real about my spiritual priorities during these 40 days of Lent. And how about you? What are you doing for these 40 days? We've got 40 whole days to work on this. We probably won't get it right on day one, or maybe not even day 39, but we might get a start. Maybe this Lent, it would be good for all of us to spend some time with Jesus in the wilderness, trying to live with less of the unnecessary stuff of life and to spend more time trying to reprioritize how we spend our time and money according to the people that we say we want to be. People who live more truly according to the values we embrace or have said we wanted to embrace but haven't quite gotten there yet. Now, I've shared with you all how hard it was for me to be on those opioids. But I haven't confessed to you how many other ways I choose to kill the pain in my life to distract me from being the kind of person I really want to be, putting first things first, living a life truly in sync with what I preach about, what I profess to be as a person of faith. We all have our own ways of choosing our props, don't we? Could we maybe try in these next 40 days to give a few of them up? Could we reduce the time we spend on our cell phones or social media or stuck in our pasts replaying old tapes of inadequacies or bad decisions and try to get used to using that found time to hear the still, small voice of God to help us back on track with our priorities? Is there some other way we could spend our evenings and watching Netflix or Game of Thrones or sipping Bombay Sapphire G&Ts or planning for the next vacation or trip to the mall or Starbucks or sitting alone depressed in front of the computer screen? What is your particular brand of temptation out there in the wilderness of life? What are your pacifiers of choice? Satan tempted Jesus with offers of bread and power and special protection. How does Satan tempt you? When was the last time you tried to confront those temptations and live more authentically your calling to follow Christ, to put first things first in your life? Well, point is, we've all got 40 days to work on this. We won't get it right overnight, but we also have what Jesus had out there in the wilderness. We have the Holy Spirit within us to guide us and help us if we could just make some time and space to hear the Spirit's voice and do what the Spirit guides us to do with our lives. As Barbara Brown Taylor reminds us, a voluntary trip to the desert this Lent is a great way to practice getting free of those devils for life. Not only because it is where you lose your appetite for things that cannot save you, but also because it is where you learn to trust the Spirit that led you there to lead you out again, ready to worship the Lord your God and serve no other all the days of your life. Do we want to live with regrets? Do we want to live with regrets? Let's take 40 days and think about that.